Hello and welcome to episode 232 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean and I will be your host as we try and discover the most useful and interesting fact known to mankind. Find us online at dailybrainwave.com and contact the show via email at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. Today we continue Mail Week by looking at the airmail. As the 1900s dawned, a new tool for mail delivery surfaced. The airplane. The use of the air to deliver the mail was not new. Pigeon posts had lasted for a long time, and there was a colorful episode called The Airlift of 1870 that took place in a besieged Paris, wherein mail was smuggled out of the blockaded city using a fleet of hot air balloons. Ironically, although the plane was developed in the United States, the nation was slow to accept the innovation into its mail service. European countries had established a basic sort of airmail service, though nothing was particularly extensive, and it relied mostly on zeppelins, not airplanes. We all know how zeppelins worked out. In these European air services, mail was usually only sent from one town to the very next town over, and even then only when enough mail had built up to make it worth the courier's time. In 1914, the Postmaster General of the United States, Albert Burleson, himself having witnessed test flights by the Wright brothers and excited about the prospect of using planes to transport mail, hired Otto Praeger, a young American reporter enamored with flying machines, to bring the dream to life. He failed, and failed again. And again, over and over, they were turned down by Congress for their appropriation requests. Part of the problem was the grand scope of the project. At a time when aeronautics was still in its infancy, when the basic boundaries of flying had yet to be fully understood, Burleson and Praeger were pitching airmail as a way to get the post to such far-flung places as Alaska and Arizona. Planes at the time were barely able to make it from one town to the next, let alone through blizzards or blinding heat waves. Another idea, for night delivery, involved an elaborate system of beacons placed around the countryside to guide planes from place to place, as no navigation equipment had been developed to guide pilots in the dark. The duo was finally able to get their funding when they thought small, an airmail route between Washington, D.C. and New York City. Their experiment worked. The D.C.-New York route became the first regularly scheduled airmail route in history. Conditions weren't ideal for early pilots, though, and actually 34 pilots died in the early days of the airmail service. But the experiment had proven that the skies were relatively safe for mail transportation, and soon the rest of the country and the world followed suit. Before long, airmail routes sprang up across continents, connecting nations and people like never before. Thanks for tuning in to episode 232 of the Daily Brainwave. Email the show with comments and suggestions at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. Check out our website, dailybrainwave.com, where you can find sources and links for further information about today's topic. And make sure you tune in tomorrow as we continue Mail Week by looking at the Penny Post.